Have you ever wondered why Warren Buffett claims that mastering public speaking can boost your career value by 50%? Quentin J. Schultz believes this is actually an understatement. In his groundbreaking book, An Essential Guide to Public Speaking, Schultz transforms the traditional approach to public speaking by introducing the concept of servant speaking, using our gift of speech to genuinely serve others rather than merely advance ourselves. This refreshing perspective has made the book a favorite among communication professors at both Christian and secular universities, with renowned rhetorical scholar Clifford G. Christians praising it as meeting all standards of excellence in educational literature. Unlike conventional public speaking texts that focus primarily on techniques, Schultz integrates classical rhetorical wisdom with a biblical framework that positions effective communication as an act of neighborly love. Whether you're a seasoned speaker battling persistent anxiety or a novice terrified of the podium, this book offers a path not just to technical proficiency, but to a deeper understanding of how our words can meaningfully serve others. Servant speaking begins with a fundamental shift in perspective, seeing your audience as neighbors to be served rather than judges to be feared. Rick and Barb exemplify this approach perfectly. Despite personal embarrassment, they shared their experience living with HIV/AIDS to educate others, demonstrating that effective speaking starts with a desire to serve rather than merely showcase skills. As image bearers of God, we're designed to build relationships and communities through speech. When we examine our motives, asking whether we're speaking to serve ourselves or others, we discover that truly effective communication flows from loving hearts. This creates shared understanding, preventing what Schultze calls excommunication, the breaking of relationships that occurs when understanding fails. The path to servant speaking begins with attentive listening to others and to the Holy Spirit, which reveals our neighbor's needs. Jesus, history's greatest listener, modeled servant leadership by humbling himself. Through listening, we discover which neighbors we might serve through speaking and what would best serve them. The Good Samaritan parable illustrates this perfectly. Our audiences are our neighbors in need. When we view public speaking through this lens, we fulfill God's command to love our neighbors as ourselves. Beyond serving immediate audiences, servant speakers also speak up for the voiceless, those without platforms, becoming ambassadors for those who cannot speak for themselves. God calls even reluctant speakers like Moses, young Jeremiah, and the unskilled Paul to be his speech agents. The author shares his own transformation from someone with panicky fear of public speaking to a communication professor, crediting the Holy Spirit's guidance. Sometimes we're called to impromptu speaking with little preparation, as when the author found himself praying publicly for a missing neighbor who was later found murdered. Though imperfect, his heartfelt words served the community in a moment of need. God doesn't require perfect speakers, but those willing to speak truth in love with servant hearts. Like Rick and Barb using their HIV/AIDS experience to help others, God often uses our weaknesses to demonstrate His glory, turning difficulties into opportunities to serve. The most effective speeches emerge where our passions intersect with our neighbor's needs. Consider the student who delivered a powerful speech about depression to help classmates understand the condition. Her personal experience became a resource to serve others. Servant speaking requires knowing your audience intimately. We can only serve those we understand, their minds, hearts, worries, and joys. Research deepens this understanding through three approaches: primary, discovering new information through surveys or interviews; secondary, finding what others already know; and autobiographical, examining our own experiences. For instance, researching student stress might involve interviewing campus counselors, reading scholarly journals, and talking with students directly. This helps narrow broad topics to manageable, audience-specific ones, avoiding the trap of speaking about something in general for no one in particular. Every speech needs a clear purpose beyond the general aim of loving neighbors. Following Augustine's ancient rhetorical purposes, we can primarily inform, teach, persuade, or delight, entertain our audience. While these purposes can combine, one should guide our research, writing, and delivery. A main idea, thesis statement, summarizes our entire speech in one sentence, like an elevator pitch. It must align with our speaking purpose, be supported by research, serve our audience, neighbors, and direct everything we say. For example, a persuasive speech on stress reduction might use, "Exercise 3 times weekly for 40 minutes to reduce your stress in school." The outline organizes points supporting our main idea, including how we'll begin, end, and transition between parts. Following this servant speaking process naturally leads to audience adaptation, imagining ourselves as audience members and considering their perspective and pre-existing attitudes. The central question in speech preparation is how we'll serve our particular audience neighbors. Every aspect, research, organization, writing, adaptation, practice, should aim at service. One student brilliantly engaged his audience by riding a bicycle into class and promising to show how bike tune-ups could get you dates, burn off school stress, and make you more money. A perfect example of connecting personal passion with audience interests. Even Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel, an acclaimed speaker who received standing ovations, suffered terrible stage fright, describing it as butterflies in my stomach and feeling his body seized by trembling. Speech apprehension feels like standing naked in a huge fishbowl. We fear audiences seeing our true selves and rejecting us. Moses exemplifies biblical speech anxiety, questioning God about his speaking abilities with, "I am slow of speech and tongue," Exodus 4:10. The Apostle Paul admitted coming to the Corinthians in weakness with great fear and trembling, 1 Corinthians 2:3, despite being effective. All speakers, even famous ones, remain imperfect and fear appearing foolish. Surprisingly, speaking fears serve a purpose by creating motivation and necessary adrenaline. Having no fear might indicate potential for poor performance, as anxiety motivates early preparation and practice. Speakers grow less fearful within supportive communities where they already feel known and accepted. The author began overcoming stage fright by starting with small church groups under 15 people, using a conversational approach with chairs in a circle rather than formal oration. When panic strikes during speeches, becoming confused, worried, or distracted, 7 strategies help. Prepare thoroughly, plan responses to personal panic triggers, identify panic attacks quickly, focus on the next practical step rather than on feelings, improvise with practical techniques, take time, what feels like an eternity to a panicking speaker is barely noticeable to the audience, and focus on gratitude as a spiritual defense against panic. The author shares how a youth leader, suddenly faced with speaking to postmasters rather than his expected audience, overcame panic by speaking honestly about universal feelings of loneliness and insignificance. By addressing genuine human needs from his heart, he transformed potential disaster into a standing ovation. While preparation matters, the Spirit can work through us even when we feel inadequate. A speech is only as good as its outline. When we fail to outline properly, as demonstrated by the confused graduate lecturer who admitted losing it during breakfast, we leave our audience bewildered and disengaged. A solid outline structures our speech with complete sentences that all support our main idea, organized according to our purpose: inform, persuade, or delight. Just as an architect needs blueprints before construction, speakers need detailed outlines before delivery. The organization should match the speech purpose, with several proven patterns to choose from. Topical organization covers various aspects with important points strategically placed first and last for maximum impact, like a TED Talk on innovation that discusses technology, education, and design. Chronological patterns work well for historical topics or process explanations, walking audiences through events or steps in time order. Spatial organization suits descriptions of physical locations or systems, such as explaining a building's layout or describing geographical features. cause and effect patterns illuminate relationships, while two-sided approaches present balanced pros and cons. Problem-solution structures work particularly well for persuasive speeches, first establishing an issue before presenting remedies. The right pattern naturally emerges during research and aligns with audience needs. A well-crafted speech follows a three-part structure: state the main idea, introduction, develop it, body, and restate it, conclusion. Engage the audience immediately. Boring introductions lose attention within the crucial first 30 seconds. Personal stories illustrating the main idea often work best, such as opening with a relevant anecdote that captures the theme. Establish servant ethos by showing the topic's direct relevance to the audience's lives, careers, or interests. For example, a speech about digital privacy might open with a story about identity theft that could happen to anyone. Transitions prevent audience confusion by explicitly signaling movement between speech sections, acting as verbal road signs. They link parts together by briefly summarizing where we've been and previewing where we're going. Essential transitions must occur between introduction and body. Now that we understand the problem, let's explore three solutions. Between major body sections, having examined the economic impact, let's consider the social effects. And between body and conclusion, these three factors lead us to an important realization. Creative transitions can use numbered points, first, second, finally. Visual metaphors, like branches from a tree, three key ideas emerge. Or memorable acronyms to enhance retention and understanding. Disorganized speakers sound impromptu, rattling off disconnected points without a central idea, like a playlist on shuffle rather than a carefully curated album. Effective outlines organize our thoughts around our main idea, serving both speakers and listeners by providing a clear roadmap. A well-composed outline engagingly introduces the main idea, uses purposeful transitions to guide the audience through supporting points, and leads naturally to a memorable conclusion that reinforces the central message. The outline becomes our trusted navigation system, ensuring we deliver our message with confidence and clarity. When giving speeches, we must be discerning about our sources, especially online ones. The internet contains both valuable information and misleading content. As servant speakers, we need to rely on credible authorities while being careful about how we interpret and present information. Begin by exploring how authorities discuss your topic. Review the top results from multiple search engines to understand the language used. Terms often carry subtle but important differences, like global warming versus climate change. After preliminary research, consult knowledgeable people about the best research approaches before diving deeper. Research librarians offer excellent guidance. They're available at library information desks and often through online chat services. Teachers can suggest specific resources after you've done preliminary research and consulted librarians. When teaching a skill or demonstrating a process, research how to teach the topic effectively by searching phrases like "how to teach your topic." Persuasive and informative speeches require trustworthy secondary sources to build credibility. While the open internet offers easy research, be wary of personal websites, blogs, podcasts, and videos from non-experts. Adding .edu or .org to searches often yields more trustworthy results. Books provide depth, analysis, and bibliographies from authorities. We must evaluate sources' trustworthiness rather than accepting all information uncritically. Popular quotations are often misattributive or fabricated. When citing sources, evaluate their qualifications related to your topic. Consider their educational background, professional memberships, publications, and endorsements from established experts. Our credibility depends on how we use sources. Plagiarism means presenting others' ideas or expressions as our own. Always credit sources for ideas, quotes, and data. Never invent data, examples, or information. Cross-check sources to avoid becoming victims of others' fabrications. Citing credible sources builds our credibility and helps audience members who want to research further. Balance is important. Citing too many sources makes speeches boring. Typically, cite no more than 2 to 3 sources per minute. Researching speech topics resembles studying the Bible. We must avoid letting assumptions dictate understanding. Since we aren't authorities on every subject, we depend on experts to prevent spreading ignorance. We must become many authorities on our narrow topics through careful research and source evaluation. Biblical thinking begins with self-examination and acknowledging our limitations. Our knowledge is always incomplete. We may misinterpret Scripture, and as sinners, we often procrastinate, use selective data, and pretend to know more than we do. Christians should be the humblest speakers, using our freedom in Christ not to boast, but to serve others. Even seemingly non-biblical topics can benefit from biblical insight. When addressing non-Christians, adapt religious language, using terms like brokenness instead of sin, or spirituality instead of religion, to connect more effectively with less religious audiences. Avoid proof texting, using Bible verses out of context, and resist the temptation to use Scripture merely to gain credibility. We often uncritically accept our Christian tribes, congregation, tradition, or denomination, biblical perspectives without personal research. The noble Bereans exemplify a better approach. They eagerly received Paul's message, but examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Acts 17:11. Thinking biblically requires affirming core Christian beliefs while recognizing that beyond these non-negotiables, Christians can reasonably disagree on disputable issues. Romans 14:1. The Apostles' Creed serves as a useful summary of biblical essentials, though speakers should acknowledge it's not Scripture itself. Sometimes servant speakers must question mainstream social values or even their own tribe's beliefs, especially regarding cultural discernment. Jesus and the prophets proclaimed unpopular truths that challenged religious establishments. This prophetic voice requires courage, sensitivity, and deep biblical insight. Biblical wisdom, enduring and practical truth from God's Word, comes through faith in Christ and fear of the Lord. It's more than theoretical thinking, it's understanding how to apply Scripture fairly and discerningly. Thinking biblically means focusing on Scripture's overarching themes, creation, fall, redemption, and renewal. Biblical understanding involves more than Bible knowledge. It requires knowing God personally, John 14:7, Philippians 3:8, speaking truth from the heart, Psalms 15:2, and putting God's Word into action. James 1:22. We interpret Scripture through faith, not merely logic, and nurture this faith in community. Time and attention are precious gifts from our audience that we must steward carefully. 2 essential rules stand above all others. Never go over time and never waste the audience's time. Plan for a speech that's approximately 10% shorter than your allocated time to allow for unexpected moments and audience reactions. Practice at the exact pace you'll use during delivery, not a rushed rehearsal pace. Position your timer strategically where you can see it, but the audience cannot, perhaps on a small table or podium. For a 30-minute speech, aim to prepare 27 minutes of content, leaving buffer time for audience interaction and transitions. While maintaining schedule discipline is crucial, speakers occasionally receive unexpected inspiration during delivery or notice particularly strong audience engagement with certain points. This creates natural tension between adhering to the prepared plan and seizing a kairos moment, a God-created opportunity for deeper impact. When considering whether to add unplanned content, quickly evaluate 3 criteria. Does it genuinely serve the audience's needs? Does it support your core message? Can you incorporate it while still respecting time constraints? Be especially wary of adding personal anecdotes or tangents that primarily serve to showcase your expertise rather than benefit listeners. Q&A sessions are powerful teaching moments in humility, as they often reveal gaps in our explanation or even errors in our understanding. Prepare emotionally by viewing questions as opportunities for dialogue rather than challenges to authority. When faced with questions beyond our knowledge, several strategies prove effective. Asking for clarification to ensure proper understanding. Honestly acknowledging knowledge gaps while offering to research the answer. Leveraging collective audience wisdom. Or diplomatically redirecting irrelevant questions back to the core topic. Remember that ignorance isn't a character flaw. It's simply the starting point for learning. Speaking mistakes are universal and inevitable. For minor stumbles like losing your place or verbal slips, maintain momentum by continuing forward naturally. For substantive errors like misquoted statistics or incorrect facts, offer a brief, clear correction and move on. These moments, handled with grace, often enhance rather than damage credibility, as audiences relate to authentic human moments and appreciate honest corrections. Technology integration brings both opportunities and risks. Develop multiple backup plans, assuming worst-case scenarios. Bring printed handouts of key visuals. Save presentations in multiple formats and locations. Test all equipment thoroughly before speaking, and know how to deliver your core message effectively without any visual aids if necessary. Keep backup batteries, adapters, and necessary cables readily available. The agricultural banker incident, where the author's attempted humor about agriculture being the world's oldest profession deeply offended an audience of conservative rural bankers, illustrates the critical importance of knowing your audience and practicing servant speaking. While thorough preparation remains essential, pursuing perfection often leads to rigidity and missed connections. Master speakers anticipate potential challenges, apologize sincerely when needed, adapt flexibly to technical difficulties, and maintain composure through unexpected situations. Success lies not in avoiding all mistakes, but in handling them with grace and professionalism while keeping the audience's needs paramount. Trustworthiness forms the foundation of the moral relationship between speaker and audience. Like marriage or friendship, this relationship depends on mutual trust and respect. Deceptive speakers typically live deceptive lives, as dishonesty in public speaking often reflects broader patterns of untruthfulness in personal conduct. Our trustworthiness isn't conditional on whether we believe the audience deserves it. We're called to be stewards of trust regardless, with our yes being yes and our no being no, as Scripture teaches. A lie is specifically a statement intended to deceive, distinguished from honest mistakes or misunderstandings. While unintentional misinformation doesn't make us liars, we must thoroughly research our topics to avoid even accidental falsehoods. This includes fact-checking statistics, verifying quotes, and consulting multiple reliable sources. When using personal stories about others, seek permission first and respect confidentiality. If permission isn't granted but the story serves your audience well, consider altering identifying details to protect privacy while preserving the essential truth. For example, changing names, locations, or specific circumstances without altering the core message. Complete truth is impossible in any speech. Our knowledge is always limited by time, perspective, and human understanding. When preparing speeches, we inevitably select information that supports our main idea. But we must avoid intentionally omitting relevant contradictory information that could provide important context. Acknowledge to your audience that other perspectives exist, even if you can't fully explore them. For instance, you might say, "While there are other viewpoints on this issue, today we'll focus on..." Jesus himself used powerful figures of speech like metaphors and hyperbole to communicate effectively. His parables about mustard seeds, lost sheep, and prodigal sons weren't literal accounts, but conveyed profound spiritual truths. These rhetorical devices aren't lies when used appropriately, but can actually convey deeper truth than literal language. The key is ensuring your audience understands your intended meaning through proper context and clear delivery. Expressing uninformed opinions typically reduces credibility, making us appear arrogant rather than understanding. As Proverbs notes, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Well-researched opinions, supported by evidence and experience, can serve your audience effectively. This might involve citing expert sources, sharing relevant data, or drawing from documented case studies. Trustworthiness transcends mere honesty. It encompasses reliability, consistency, and ethical conduct. It begins with examining our relationship with God, others, and ourselves as true followers of Christ. A clean heart with godly desires enables us to treat our audience respectfully, rejecting lies, telling truth, protecting privacy, using exaggeration cautiously, speaking precisely, and controlling our opinions. This integrity should manifest in every aspect of our communication, from preparation to delivery, creating a foundation of trust that enhances our effectiveness as speakers and witnesses to truth. Informative speaking presents a unique challenge, capturing audience interest while delivering valuable content. After a student discarded course notes after a final exam, the author committed to making his teaching worth keeping for life. The key to effective informative speaking lies in addressing audience needs and finding the human drama within our topics, connecting information to the audience's desires and challenges. The fundamental challenge in informative speaking is engagement. Our audiences often assume lectures will be boring, so we must verify their interest in our topic and convince them to pay attention. Simply being passionate about our subject isn't enough. We need to understand why others should care too. Effective informative presentations begin by communicating the value of our information to the audience. When needs aren't obvious, we must first explain them, either by making a case for relevance with supporting data or by offering concrete examples showing what the audience will gain. Personal stories demonstrating how the information solved a problem can be particularly effective. All drama involves people wanting something, relationships, skills, success, or faith. As servant speakers, we address these ongoing life dramas by inviting our audience to learn how their needs can be met. By touching on audience needs early, we generate interest, transforming information delivery into storytelling at the intersection of content and need. Informative speaking encompasses four overlapping forms: describing, instructing, reporting, and explaining. Descriptive speaking often takes the form of a story about our topic or how we discovered it. Instructional speaking demonstrates processes or shares skills. Reporting objectively shares research results or investigations. Explaining clarifies ideas, theories, or beliefs without advocating positions. A student gave an informative speech to communication majors explaining that they need complementary non-communication courses to prepare for careers. By researching actual job descriptions, he demonstrated that communication positions require knowledge about particular content areas: healthcare, government, sports, education, not just communication skills. His fresh perspective addressed students' perceived needs about employment preparation, prompting substantial discussion. Effective informative speaking requires care and imagination to overcome the boredom that plagues so many lectures and presentations. By finding the human drama in our topics and connecting information to audience needs, we transform dry data into compelling narratives that audiences will remember long after the speech ends.